You are listening to Benefit from the Bible.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we return to our sermon series, God with Us. Tonight is part 5. Let's go back to part 4 for a moment. Let me tell you where we just came from before we get into part 5. In part 4, that is when the angel visited Mary to let her know that though she was a virgin, she would bear a child, and that child would be the Holy One of God. That would be the child promised to Adam and Eve. That would be the child that would be a descendant of Abraham, through whom God would bless the entire world. We also, last time, traced the genealogy of Jesus, you might recall, from Jesus on Mary's side, all the way back through the entire Old Testament, until finally we arrived at Adam and even at God. When I think about the genealogy of Jesus going all the way back, that reminds me that he is the one promised at the beginning, and he is that one Savior for all people of all time. So we go to the passage there in Acts chapter 4, where it says, talking about Jesus, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Think about that. Isn't that such good news? That we know that we personally are not left out. There's no one we know out there who is left out from what Jesus has done. So that means we can go and talk to anyone, and anyone out there, they have the problem of sin, and they have the need for salvation, and God has promised it in his Son, Jesus Christ. So God wants us to know such things and take advantage of sharing that bad news, but especially the good news of Christ. If you take a look in the brochure for a moment, we find ourselves down on the bottom timeline. So we're pretty much done with the top timeline, covering the 4,000 years of Old Testament history. Now we're down at the bottom, and you can see we're at number 5. We only have one number 5, and that again, like I said earlier, that is where Mary, knowing about Elizabeth, she goes to visit her. We see Elizabeth say some wonderful things about Mary, and then we see Mary make an extraordinary statement herself. We're going to focus on that even now. As we think about our text for tonight in Luke chapter 1, we're really focusing on the journey that Mary makes to Elizabeth, and then simply the exchange that both of the women made right when they greet each other. Actually, her entire visit, Mary with Elizabeth, went on for about 3 months, but all we're really focusing on is what was said right when they greeted each other. Part 1 tonight, Mary visits Elizabeth, and both are expecting. Isn't that extraordinary? Think about that. Here is Elizabeth. She is old. She is barren. She's never been able to have a child. She's tried to have a child. She wanted to have a child. She couldn't. And yet, here she is in her old age. She is pregnant. That's pretty amazing. And then, think about Mary. She is a virgin. She's never been with a man, and yet she is pregnant. These are amazing things. God wants us to know the great importance of John and Jesus. Going to our text, then, we pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and it says, "At that time, Mary got ready." So my question is, what time are we talking about? Well, if you go back to last time, again, that's when the angel appeared to Mary, and finally the angel said to Mary, "Your relative Elizabeth, who is old and was barren, she is in her 6th month." So Mary, having heard that news, this is the time when she heard the news, and now she is anxious to go and see Elizabeth. So it says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." So keep in mind, if we're looking at a map, Mary living way in the north in Nazareth of Galilee, Elizabeth down in Judea near Jerusalem, so we're probably talking a distance of about 80 miles, And yet Mary, she would have walked. She could have ridden on a donkey, maybe in a cart of some kind, probably about a four-day journey if she was in a hurry, maybe covering about 20 miles a day. So she was anxious to get there. She wanted to see what the angel had said was true about Elizabeth, to be able to see her with that baby bump 6 months along. She was so anxious to see that reality of her relative. And then coming to verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know from the last sermon, we know that Mary was informed about Elizabeth being pregnant. But we're not aware, though, that Elizabeth was ever informed about Mary, about her being pregnant, and about her carrying our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's extraordinary here what she's about to say, but how did this all happen, though? I think somehow God was simply using the sound of Mary's voice to cause, first of all, the preborn John in her womb to leap, and then also the sound of Mary's voice was causing Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Elizabeth is about ready to tell a prophecy. She would not have known this on her own, but here God is giving her the ability to speak some very important things. So we pick up in verse 42, it says, in a loud voice, she, in other words, Elizabeth, exclaimed, talking here about Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored? Again, continuing with Elizabeth here, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So, yes, Mary is truly blessed among all women. But why is that so? We went into that a little bit last Sunday, but let me give you three reasons here, tying in with the text, why I think she is blessed among all women. First of all, God chose her above every other woman in the world to be that one person through whom he would bring his son, our Savior, into the world. That is a huge thing. We don't know how many people were living on planet Earth at that time, about 2,000 years ago, but certainly there were millions of people. How do we know that? Because we know that in AD 70, there were over 1 million people who died when Jerusalem was overrun by the Romans. So if there were simply 1 million people there, there were millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions around the world that God could have picked from, and yet he chose Mary. Also, she is truly blessed because when the angel Gabriel brought the message from the Lord and told her that she would bear the Holy One of God, the amazing thing is she, by God's grace, she believed it. So as far out there as it was, as crazy as it sounded, she believed it. God granted her that blessing to believe. Even think about us. Isn't it kind of crazy if you step back and think that we are staking our eternity on some Jewish man who died on an old rugged cross almost 2,000 years ago? Isn't that like the craziest thing when you put it in that kind of terminology? But yet, why would we believe that? We believe that because God has given us the gift of faith by which we believe that is true. We believe this old book is actually the very word of God. So we believe these things to be true. Many people don't, but we believe it, and we are blessed, just like Mary. Also, too, I believe she was blessed because she humbly and willingly accepted God's will for her life. So as I think about Mary and her part in bringing our Savior into the world, that took much faith, that included much joy. And if you think about Mary's own son, our Lord Jesus Christ, being on the cross, this also included much sorrow. For any parent that loses a child to death, That's got to be a heart-wrenching thing. I'm thankful I haven't experienced that. But that's got to be a really difficult thing. But can you imagine if you had a child who died by crucifixion? How difficult would that be? So when she said yes to bear the Christ child, she was saying yes to an awful lot. But what she did, though, is she knew that that was God's will for her, so she honored the Lord by saying yes. I pray that God will help us to be the same way, to know, to seek from His Word through prayer, to know His will for us, and then to say, "Dear Lord, if that is Your will, I say yes, work it in me, help me to do it, may You be glorified in my life." So that's the attitude she had. I believe we should be the same. Let's go on to the second part. We see here that Mary, pregnant with Jesus, she magnifies the Lord. So right after Elizabeth spoke these blessings about Mary, now we see Mary begin to, in a sense, respond to what Elizabeth said, but Mary is now really giving the glory to God. So picking up in verse 46, the Bible says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.'" And then maybe right there we could stop and say, well, why is that? Why is she glorifying the Lord? Why is she rejoicing in God, her Savior? It goes on to tell us, "Because He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation." Let's back up for a moment and take a little closer look at what she just said. So first of all, Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior. According to Scripture, everyone except our Lord Jesus Christ has the problem, the huge problem of sin. So everyone is in need of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. So she was rejoicing in her Savior. God wants us to know that Jesus is that one Savior for all people of all time. Think about what Jesus said there in John 14. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So why is He that one way? Well, we have to be righteous in God's sight to be with God forever. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous in God's sight. So the only way we can be that way is to receive Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And then God sees us to be righteous. And then we are ready for heaven. We are ready to be with God forever. He is the only way. When I think about this section, too, where it says Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior, I think about that more contemporary song, goes back to the 90s, I believe, called "Mary, Did You Know?" You know, and it's asking all those questions throughout the song. And one of the lines goes like this: "Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you." So it's a play on the word there, deliver. But isn't that true, though, that the one that she delivered, He delivered His own mother, and He delivered every one of us through His perfect living and His sacrificial dying. When He said, "It is finished," that is for everyone. Also, too, as I think about the word she said, she talked about God being mindful of her humble state. So I think about the words here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. In that passage, it talks about what the will of God is for every one of us, and it talks about how God is calling us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. I think those words describe Mary. To do justice means to do what is right. How do we know what is right? We look into God's Word. So I believe she was a faithful Old Testament Christian trying to know and do what is right. So God calls us to do justice, to love kindness, or to love showing mercy. God shows mercy to us. God calls us to extend mercy to others. I think Mary was that kind of a woman. So to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. So how do we walk humbly with our God? We walk knowing that He created us and that our life is completely dependent upon Him. If He doesn't give us our next breath, we're going to die. If He doesn't keep our heart beating, we're going to die. If He doesn't give us food and clothing and shelter, we're not going to make it. So we're humble, knowing that we can't provide on our own. Ultimately, we need from God or we can't make it. So we know how great God is. We know how helpless we are. So we are then trusting in Him. We are thankful for His blessings, and we're wanting to follow His way in our lives. I think that's how Mary was. Also, too, if we look back to Mary, I think she had great faith, she had great courage, and she had great faithfulness as she followed through with the will of God. We call her blessed because she willingly bore, nourished, nurtured, and loved her Son, who is the Savior of the entire world. She did wonderful things. She played a key part with the life of our Savior so that ultimately He could go to the cross for every single one of us. So it said there in the text, His mercy extends to those who fear Him. Does God want us to be afraid of Him? Well, for those who live in opposition to God, they should be terrified of Him. It says in Hebrews 10, it says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So God wants us to know that when we reject Him and finally we leave this life, we fall into His hands, and that's going to be a sad and terrifying thing forever and ever. But here, though, the idea of fearing Him here is to reverence Him, to respect Him, maybe most of all, to fear Him here is to trust in Him, to trust in Him that He is our loving Creator, our loving God, our loving Savior. I believe that Mary did just that, and God is calling us to think about her, to think about the wonderful Christian model she was for us, and to try to be the same way in our lives. So do we get to go to heaven if we follow her example? No, by no means. We get to go to heaven because in Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of our sins. But having that forgiveness, should that make us very happy? By all means. And then that joy should cause us to want to be more like Mary as we honor the Lord with our lives. And then we pick up in verse 51 here. Mary continues what she said. She's talking here about the mighty one of God, and she says, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. Did you notice that Mary was taking no credit at all for anything? She's heaping all the glory, all the praise on the Almighty God. God wants us to be that way too. Think about the good things that any of us do in our lives. And we could think about it like this and say, okay, here I am, and God is working through me to do this good thing. Don't we tend sometimes, maybe it's just me, but don't we maybe tend sometimes to say, oh, that was a pretty good thing I just did. God, thanks so much for working that through me. But don't we tend to like take a little bit of credit for that too? Well, God wants us to know that we are simply a tool in His hand. So He wants us to pass all the credit and all the glory back to Him. He wants us to be thankful that we had the privilege of being part of whatever He did, but He wants us to know that if it was good, it's all about Him, it's not about us. I think Mary did a good job of showing that here. Let's look at some of these phrases real quick here. It says, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. In other words, God did it, and nobody else, nobody helped Him. He did it on His own. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. So what do you think right now my inmost thoughts are? Who can tell me? Any mind readers out there tonight? No? So you don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. But does someone know? Sure, God knows. So God knows our inmost thoughts. So just as John the Baptizer called people to repent of ways in which they were living in sin, God wants us to hear that same call, and that should start on the inside and work all the way out. So we might think we can think things that no one knows about, but God knows, so may He help us to be repentant through and through, honoring Him in every way. Also, too, it said in the text, talking about the Almighty God, He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. So sometimes you get a ruler, maybe in America or some other country, and that ruler thinks that he has all power, that he can do anything. Boy, God wants all rulers to know that they are nothing in comparison to the Almighty God. They should know that God can take them out just like that at any moment. So they should be sobered up, and they should be looking to God and saying, "Dear God, show me what is best so that I can follow your will. You are the Almighty God, and I am not." Wouldn't it be a better world if all the rulers took that attitude? We should probably pray for them in that way. But notice, too, it said that He has lifted up the humble. Don't we want God to lift us up? I sure want God to lift me up, so may God help us to be humble, to trust in Him, and when the time is right, He will lift us up. In other words, He will exalt us. We should never exalt ourselves. Also, too, the text said, He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Sometimes we think life will never be that way, but God is able to bring such things about. Also, too, it says, He has helped His servant Israel. Does that include us, too? Sometimes when we think about Israel, we're thinking about Abraham and then Isaac, and then one of the twin boys is Jacob, also known as Israel. He has the 12 sons, and you have the nation and all of that. And we're like, well, I'm not a part of all that. That's a different bloodline than I'm a part of. So do we have God's blessing, too? He wants us to know that we do. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, it says, those who believe are children of Abraham. So it's not so important that we have the right blood flowing in our bodies. What is important is that we have the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed the promises of God. Abraham believed in the Savior that would come even through his body. God wants us to believe too and know that we are related to Abraham. We are the children of Abraham by faith, not by blood. Finally, at the end, we see our final verse in 56. It says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Sometimes in the movies will depict Mary being present when John is born. But if you think about the way the story lines up in Luke, we see Mary with Elizabeth. We see Mary leave the home of Elizabeth. And then right after that is when John is born. So it seems that Mary was not present, but she did return home. She returned home to Nazareth. You can imagine the shocking thing that Joseph noticed, that after she's been gone now for about 3 months, getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit just before she left. So at 3 to 4 months, would she be showing maybe a little bit? And Joseph is like, what's going on here? So it must have been a really awkward time when she got back to Nazareth. And of course, with the days and weeks ahead, it got even more and more awkward too. And can you imagine her trying to explain herself that, hey, this is from God and I didn't do anything wrong and all these different stories. But that's what's in Scripture though. But she did it anyway. She trusted in God, and God used her to bring our Savior into the world. Well, I invite you to join us this Sunday, either at 8 o'clock or 10:45. We focus on the text where John is born. People thought John should be given the name Zechariah, named after his father, but Elizabeth said, no, make his name John. They confer with Zechariah, and then right at that moment, that is when God allows him to be able to speak, and he's also able to say that he wants the boy to be named John. We'll take a look at that, and then Zechariah, now able to speak, he's going to prophesy about Jesus and also about his son John and how they're going to work together in certain ways to bless all people of all time. I hope you join us. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.